No, at all.
They will.
Yeah.
We went up to Caseville. Our daughter is camping up there this weekend. And once again, it's grandpa, do this, grandpa, do that. And I don't mind, but man, Caseville's beach is a long ways from Caseville Park. So you're walking and walking and walking. And keeps you young. So, hey, this week, couple things. Relay for Life. That's the big thing for Saturday. Our church is involved. We have a lot of people who are cancer survivors in our church. A lot of memorials. We have passed away of cancer. And so we are involved. And so we will be down there from 10 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. Come down and walk some laps. Come and, there are luminary bags that you can do in honor of a loved one who's passed away or in honor of someone who's a survivor. And we will light them up probably about 9 o'clock and have them around the track at the football field there. And that's always a special time. So if you would like, they're $10 a piece to buy to help promote, but put their name on them and it's just a good time. So if you're able to come down, be a part of that day. Next Sunday is a regular Sunday morning. I'll be here in the Sunday morning. And then my wife and I, I'm taking her too. We're going on vacation. Okay. We are heading toward Missouri. Our son lives out there now. So that's where we're heading. We're going to go up to Branson. Okay. And so there'll be no evening service. We only had a handful of nights. No evening service on the 3rd or the 10th. I'll be gone on the 10th. You'll be having a Gideon speaker that morning. And so I encourage you to be a part of that service as well. So a couple things coming up. And we had our Bible school meeting. We're planning on having a soccer camp again this year. And so I think pretty soon you'll see a sign-up sheet of things that you can help out with food-wise. And also visitors today, make sure you take a look at the kitchen. It's almost completed. If you'd like to drop $1,000 on the way out, you could do. So, but appreciate the work that's been done on already. Hey, during our Wednesday night services, we've been looking at the book of Ezra. This book tells about the nation of Israel that was returning from the captivity in the land of Babylon after 70 years. There's great excitement as they start rebuilding the temple, and then they run into some opposition. That opposition caused them to take a break for 16 to 18 years. And then all of a sudden, God uses some prophets to challenge the people again, to get them building again the work of God. And so Haggai and Zechariah come on the scene. And he challenges people, and Zechariah is one of those guys. And in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 2, it says this: "The Lord was very angry with your forefathers. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says: return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty." I believe these words need to be echoed in our world today, our country. Return to me, says the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you. The purpose of the message on this Memorial Day weekend is to consider how America, who I believe has been blessed by God in its founding, and even preserved by God through the sacrifice of countless soldiers who gave their lives for our freedoms and beliefs, I believe this America has drifted away from God, much like the Israelites did. We claim to be a godly nation, and we even put in "God we trust" on our money. But many of the decisions of the Supreme Court over the years have taken God out of the classroom and out of the courtroom. Israel started out rejoicing as the temple of God was rebuilt. But Ezra, as you look at Ezra, he doesn't come to Jerusalem for another 70 or 80 years. And during that 70, 80 years, a lot has happened. The godly people still living for God in Ezra's day say that the real problem is that the priests and leaders of the people are the ones mostly involved in disobeying God's commands. They're the ones who are intermarrying with the Canaanites. They're the ones who are starting to follow the practices of the Girgashites and the Reubenites and all the other ites around them. And so the cry goes out, "Return to me." Now that cry has been called out a couple times in the scriptures. You realize that the cry, "Return to me," really needs to be challenged to our leaders. We were going through, this was quite a topic. I enjoyed prayer meeting. It was quite an interaction. It was. And we started to ask, with the church the way it is today, and the challenge, "Return to me," because I believe a lot of believers have drifted from the things of God. Hebrews chapter 2 says it this way: we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? Be careful about drifting away. The Bible, the words "return to me" were spoken many different times in the Bible. Jeremiah, he was one of those prophets. He was even before the children of Israel went into captivity. And he's telling them ahead of time. He says, "Hey, if you return, O Israel, return to me, declares the Lord. And if you put your detestable idols out of my sight and no longer go astray, I will return to you." I would believe that there's the opportunity for us to avoid future problems if we start returning to the Lord. God even tells them how they have wandered away. But most of us are like the children of Israel during the time of Malachi the prophet. I always like how Malachi, he comes to him and he says to these people, "I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and you've not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty." And what's the response of the people? How are we to return? Now for me, that verse sort of says, "Lord, I'm oblivious to how I even divided from you. I don't even understand. You and me were just like this." And God says, "No, you have drifted." And there's times where we have to be willing to say, "Where have I drifted from our Lord?" Once again, in this passage of Scripture, how had they drifted? Take your Bibles. You need to say, this is a good one. I get to have my quick tithing sermon for you here this morning, okay? Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And you find here, I'll read that verse again in verse 6. "I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and vines your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then the nation will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. What I'm seeing here, and once again, I'm not here to preach a sermon on tithing today, but it truly becomes a way of a person returning to God. When you start to begin to put God first in your finances, you're on your way to returning to a walk with God. And we've talked about this, and so many people here at this church have shared with me that they have made the decision to put God first in their finances. And use, you know, and that's not always the case with some. Well, if we have a little bit left over, we'll give it. But most people who tithe say, no, we're going to give God the top portion. And we're going to trust Him to take care of the rest of the bills. And many of you have given testimony to me over the years that God has not failed you in those kind of things. So one of the ways that we start to return to God is in, even in our giving. Okay? I believe another way that we start to return to God, and I think we need to challenge ourselves in this one, is examining your faithfulness in the matters of worship. We could probably sing it, if we're honest with God, we could probably sing it this way. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, except if there's a sale at the mall. We can find so many ways to skip the worship of God nowadays. I look at, and once again, I have to be careful about throwing stones because I loved going to Little League games when my son was playing Little League. But I go by the fields on Sundays and I see people out there practicing even. Yeah. And on Wednesday nights and other nights, there's more people down at that park than, you know, hardly enough parking spots for them. And somehow we've sort of shifted in our world today and we say it's okay. And yet, I think the Lord would say to all of us, return to me and I'll return to you. In some ways, it is the giving. It's the heart that says, hey, I Lord, you're the steward. You want me to be a steward of your gifts. And I come to worship you this morning. And I pray that we might have that. Once again, another way one returns to God is by reading His Word. And can't emphasize enough that this Word has to get into you if you're going to have some victory in the things of God. Okay? And so we challenge you by reading His Word so that it becomes part of your decision-making process. Then when issues arise, you will have the Spirit of God and the wisdom of God in your life. Another way that I believe that we need to be honest with ourselves, because sometimes when sermons like this, it's so easy. Return to God. Well, Pastor, I'm glad you're preaching that message because He really needs it. And we don't seem to pull the mirror down in front of ourselves at all. We probably all need to come and say to the Lord, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Lord, see if there's any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. And so we're asking, you know, and so we're trying to, and we, you know, and Wednesday night we were talking about How does this start? How do we get people back to God? Do we start with, you know, do I challenge you folks? Hey, get your act together! Or does it start here? With this guy. James chapter 3 says what? Not many of you should presume to be teachers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. I tell you what, I'm afraid someday when the Sandusky Baptist Church stands in front of God, and we stand up there, and all of a sudden, you start to leave, and I've got a feeling they're going to say, Pastor Dave, we want you to stay a little longer. We want to talk to you about some of the things that you failed to challenge people to do while they were underneath your shepherd. Pastor Spradlin here, he had opportunities to see people probably come and go. I've told everybody, it's always the preacher's fault.
And yet we find that we have people drifting. And all of a sudden, we can find so many other things to fill our time instead of with a worship of a God who went to the cross on our behalf. So Zechariah says to them, return to me. Huh? How are you supposed to return? Well, you got to get rid of the baggage. You got to get rid of the... And this is in Ezra. Ezra is a hard one. These guys had married these women and they had children with these women. And all of a sudden they're saying, ladies and children, you've got to go. Oh, that would have been a heart-wrenching thing. And yet it was so important that there be getting back to where God wants us to be. Once again, we're challenged so many times in the book of Ephesians. Therefore, I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord. You must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardening of the heart. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality, to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him, and you were taught in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your own way of life to put off the old man and to be made new. To be made new in the attitude of God. To put on righteousness and holiness and to be like him. So once again, all this time, you know what our biggest problem is? We have a tendency to justify everything we do. We're okay. Lord, you must be okay with this, Lord. The problem is we probably need to pick up the book again and realize there are things our Lord isn't pleased with, even in our lives. As we start to depart from him, as we start to love the things of the world more than the things of God. And so I pray that we might examine ourselves. May the revival true. Yes, I think at times the challenge needs to come from the leader. I will probably answer to this before God sometime. That Brian Cuddy has not been the dictator of the Sandusky Baptist Church. I have gone to other churches before. And the man up here in this pulpit will say, you are here Wednesday night. I question your salvation. Brian, does this about that man? And I want your relationship with Christ to be the most precious thing in your life. I want you to enjoy your relationship with Christ. But you also need to know that it has to come in line with this book. What did Malachi say? I, the Lord, do not change. You know what the best way to see that?
keep that baby perpendicular, and you ask yourself, where are you at? Are you one of these things, or are you doing this? And we want to have us walking in line with the things of God. Paul says it this way. He says, join with others in following my example and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For I tell you, and even say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their glory is in their shame. Their God is their stomach. And their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. One of the things that will get us to return to God, your giving to God will help you return to God. Your worship, faithfulness and worship will help you return. Your reading of God's Word will help you return. But being conscious of His coming will also help you to draw close to the Lord. Matthew chapter 24. Who is that wise servant who the master has put in the charge of the servants of his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says, my master is staying away a long time. Why do people dress? Because Jesus has been staying away a long time. 2 Peter says it this way. There will be scoffers in that time. You know what they'll say? Where's this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word, the heavens and the existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water and by the world and by those waters the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, being kept for a day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. When you realize that Jesus Christ is coming back someday, it helps you to be ready for Him. Right? And so we pray that with all this... Come, you know, and as the Lord would say to us, return to me, and I will return to you. Draw close to the Lord. Does it need to start from the pastor, or does it start in the pew? I'd love to see it start in the pew, where people are just have a greater hunger for the Word of God. And they start reading the Word of God, and pretty soon just God starts to draw them closer and closer to Himself. So I pray that you might examine your own heart. If there are things you know, hey, God's Word says I shouldn't be doing this, then you don't need to be doing that. You need to turn and return to Him. I like probably one of the interesting books, letters in the book of Revelation is to the Church of Ephesus. The Church of Ephesus, we always sort of put them as one of the best churches. And the Lord compliments them on all kinds of things they were doing good. But then He says what? I have this against you. You have left your first love. Doing good things. But somehow, you've left that first love. And then He gives the antidote to it. Remember from where you're fallen. How have you gotten away from God? When he would say, hey, return to me! Return to me! Remember from where you're fallen. Repent. Those men in Ezra's time had to come to the place. And we read Ezra's prayer. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. We have wandered from you. And then
Remember from where you're fallen, repent, and then return and do the first works again. Draw back closer into this relationship you've had with the Lord your God. You'll never be ashamed of drawing close to the Lord. May you have a heart's desire to live for Him. And I believe, once again, our country as a whole needs to hear those words. Return to me, and I will return to you. May God's blessing be upon our nation as we live and love Him. Lord, thank you for the opportunity today to be just challenged about these words. I believe your arms are still wide open, Lord. And you long for us to have a close walk with you. I pray that your Spirit would be at work, drawing down our own spiritual mirror and help us to honestly look into things that would be in our lives that are displeasing to you. And that our mind is more on earthly things than it is on you. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would still work in people's lives that may not know you. They're outside the family. And that you might be showing them their need of trusting you today. We ask, Lord, for your continuing work in this country of ours. Lord, I love this country. This is the only one I know. But I'm grateful for the freedoms we do have. But Lord, I think we'd also have to pray, Lord, a lot of decisions have been made that we have departed from your word. We pray that you might work in our lives to bring us back to you. In Christ's name, amen. 307.